Psalms 138. Psalms 138. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Good to see everybody tonight. I really hope you enjoyed the testimony this morning. Broke my heart listening to what Brother Mike had to say. And I'm telling you, folks, it only takes one time getting out of the will of God. And if you ain't careful, Satan will take you so far down the road you just about can't get back. Amen. Bet you ain't never had another pastor or somebody come and say they want to thank the Lord for the preacher locking them up. Amen. Psalms 138, when you get there, let's stand. Just going to read the first two verses. The Bible says, notice if you got a Bible like I got, it's got little headings and a Psalm of David. So we know without a doubt that David wrote this particular psalm. And the Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. And you notice that's got a little G right there. I will sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, I'm not going to preach on this, but I want you to think about what that says. God has magnified his word above his name. Folks, we need to treat this Bible as precious as it really is. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we love you and we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another day, for the good service this morning, Lord, and for each one that's come back this way tonight. God, I pray right now, Lord, you just move in our service. God, help us as we try to preach this in just a little while, God. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. And whatever's done, Lord, we're going to honor you and we're going to glorify you because, Lord, we can't do anything without you. We know that. And whatever's done, help us to lift up Jesus and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. David had learned a few things in his life, and David figured out a long time ago he was going to praise the one true and living God. Amen. David had no doubt seen other little gods, and that's why he says, I'm going to praise you, Lord, above all those little gods. I know where my help comes from. Amen. I know in whom I have believed, and I am, and he is able to keep me, amen. He is able to watch over me. And I, one of our songs that we sing in the choir, and one of them, you know, this is my God. I'm going to serve you. You are my God. I'm not ashamed. Just like Brother Mike was talking about this morning with the Muslim, he wasn't ashamed to pull that Bible out when the Muslim had his Quran, glory to God, and say, this is my God. This is the one I'm going to serve, amen. David learned that. David learned the value of true worship. If you look at verse 2 there, there is value in worship, folks. We ought not just come to God's house and sit there like a bump on a pickle, amen. We ought to just come to God's house and say, I'm going to worship whether nobody else worships. Why? Because worship makes you feel better. You come into God's house and you feel down and you don't feel like doing anything. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll start lifting your hand up, amen, you'll start saying amen. You'll start worshiping the one true and living God. Come down to this altar, just bow down before him. I'm telling you right now, folks, you'll feel better. David learned the true value of worship. David learned about God's love and kindness there in verse 2. If you saved tonight, you know he's a loving God. Amen. David learned to appreciate God's word. David said it's the truth. And I got to think about it as I was studying this, Brother Robert. David is writing what we will know one day as the Old Testament. David, when he was writing that, he didn't realize they was going to put it in a Bible. He was just writing it down, just to be writing it down. But David learned the true value of God's word. And when I say God's word, what David had was the first five books of the Bible. That's all David had at that time. He studied the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the one that Moses had wrote down, and the history and all that. David knew all that, and he said, thy word is truth. I remember one preacher saying, you give me the first five books of the Bible, and I'll preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? Amen. Here's some things, folks, that you and I need to learn. As I was thinking about this, they're on the front row. I believe we got some absolutes in life. You know, this day and time, they don't nobody want to talk about absolutes, you know. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all something. There's absolutely two genders. Amen. Male and female. Amen. You think anything else, you're an idiot. Amen. That might not be good English, but that's good preaching. Amen. Amen. There are some absolutes in life. I was thinking that, and I've given this illustration many times. I don't care how saved you are. You climb on top of this building and jump off, guess what? Gravity is going to take hold. Amen. You're going down. I'm going to tell you another absolute I believe in life. If we pay our tithes, we obligate God to bless what we give. Amen? That's what the Word says. And then I want to preach on some things that God has obligated himself to do. Used in the Bible, I want to show you some things that God has obligated himself to do. In other words, if we take care of our part, he will do his part. Because God's word is truth. God cannot lie. I'm telling you right now, if it's in this Bible, you go ahead and bank on it. Amen. Number one, God has obligated himself to save every sinner who comes to him, comes to Jesus Christ according to his plan. There has not nobody, Brian, that's ever come down to get saved that came down with the right way, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit that God did not save on the spot. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. And I got to thinking about as I was studying this, how far will salvation go? That Bible verse right there says, Tony, he'll save to the uttermost. That means just like Brother Mike this morning, strung out on drugs, living a life that he could not control. God saved him, wiped away every bit of it. You heard his testimony this morning. He said when God saved him, he didn't want no more drugs. He didn't want no more alcohol. He said his wife told him in a couple of days, said you hadn't said a cuss word in a couple of days. That's God. Glory to God. Hey, he'll save to the uttermost. I don't care how far down you are. You come to him in the right way, you can be saved. Amen. Amen. We ain't got time to get into all our testimony. Some of y'all be ashamed if you had got up. I'll just be honest with you. Brother Ronnie, most of us wouldn't have got up this morning like Brother Mike did and tell everything. We don't want people to know what we had to go through. But you ain't always been saved. Amen. Amen. But glory to God, you can sit here today. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. You ain't always been what you're supposed to be. You notice what the last part of verse 25, Hebrews 7, verse 25 says? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What that means is that I got somebody that died on a cross for me, that gave every drop of blood he had so that I didn't have to die and go to hell. But I also got somebody seated at the right hand of the Father that when I make a mistake and when I mess up and when I sin, glory to God, he is making intercession for me. Praise the Lord. Hey, he saves to the uttermost. He obligated himself to do that. God is also obligated to keep those that he saves. Now listen, John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father is one. Number one, he said, they know his voice. If you're saved, you know the voice of God. Amen. I want you to know that. He said, I know them by name. In other words, he knows each and every one of them. If you're saved today, glory to God, I said this a long time ago. The government gives you a number, but God knows you by name. Amen. He knows everything about you, and he's able to keep you. Amen. In other words, he said, those sheep follow him. Now listen, I'm Free Will Baptist. Y'all know me. The Bible says no man can pluck them out of my hand. I believe that with all my heart. But you can make the choice to walk away. But he said, I'm going to do everything I can to keep you. I'm going to do everything I can to bring you back. Let me tell you something. There have been times that I walked away from the Lord. Amen. There have been times that I walked away from the Lord. Let me go ahead and tell you something. There's some of y'all in here, you ain't never got out of church. You ain't never went to the bar room, but you still walked away from God. God said, I'm going to do everything I can. And I'm telling you right now, there ain't but one person that can mess up your relationship with him, and that's you. Don't look at nobody else. Don't try to blame nobody else. Like Brother Mike was saying this morning, he tried to blame everybody else. But understand something. When I look in the mirror, that's the one that's guilty. Amen. God's obligated himself to keep us. God has obligated himself to chasten all of those who disobey him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, now listen, verse 5 through 8, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as my children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening or whipping, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore you are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. That's what the Bible says. Now let me break that down into plain English. What? Those that he loves, he'll take you to the woodshed when you need it.
Yeah. Come on.
I told you. I've told you this before. My daddy don't even know the meaning of the word spanking. When I was growing up, it wasn't no spanking. It was a whooping.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Y'all know what whooping means? That's a country word. Amen. That means my daddy, he'd take you by the hand, and some we'd be starting doing that helicopter stuff. You'd be going around and around, amen? I remember one time we didn't get good grades on our report card, and I'll never forget it. Daddy bent us over the brick steps on the back of the house. You between a brick wall, a brick step, and your daddy, and you can't get away. You know why he did that? Because he loved us. And he treated me like his son.
That's good, preacher.
And it made me a whole lot better person.
Amen.
Amen. But God has, if you are God's son, you listen to me, if you are saved, God's going to get your attention. You keep messing up and God's going to take you to the woodshed. Amen. I got to think about it as I was studying this. When you get saved, now listen, when you get saved, Adrian, you give God the right to discipline you. Amen. When you get saved, you give God the right to discipline you. When you get saved, understand something. I was born into that family. In other words, I am my father's son and my mama's son. I was born into that family. I didn't choose to be there. God placed me there. And I thank God for my family. Amen. But I got up one day, walked down to an altar, bowed on my knees, and I said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And I want you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to become a son of God. And when I did that, I gave God all rights over my body, all rights over my life. And whatever it takes, I want him to make me and help me get to heaven. Amen. God is obligated to chasten everyone that disobeys him. Now let me go ahead. I'm going to take this a step further. One day he's going to chasten everybody. It was an old commercial a long time ago, Brother Robert. You probably remember. It was some kind of car commercial. I can't remember. But basically, it was telling you to buy some kind of great auto parts that instead of buying the cheap stuff. And the thing was, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Y'all remember that? You can pay me. Hey, same way with God. You can pay him now or you're going to pay it later. Because one day, the Bible says everybody's going to bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. God is obligated. Now listen, God is obligated himself to answer every prayer of faith. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. As I was studying this afternoon, looking over this, my mind went back to Brother Mike this morning, him in jail, him in prison, and he's talking about how God was answering prayer. How many can look back on your life and know that God showed up for you? Amen. You can go specific. And when God come on the scene and God answered your prayer, I can go back on my life and remember how many times, Brother Donald, I prayed specifically and God come down and God showed up and God answered that prayer.
Amen.
God's obligated himself. God will answer, listen, God will answer our prayers when we meet his standards.
Amen.
Found this little thing, it was in the Daily Bread back in early 90s. It was a guy named Ivan. He endured the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. He was a Christian. One day he was praying with his eyes closed, and one of his fellow prisoners started ridiculing him. He said, prayers won't help you get out of here any faster. He opened his eyes and he said, I'm not praying to get out of prison. I'm praying to do God's will. The Bible says sometimes when our prayers, I just preached this a few weeks ago, our prayers aren't answered because we pray amiss.
Yeah.
Our prayers aren't answered because we're not plugged in. Our prayers aren't answered because we're not abiding in him and his words are abiding in us. God has obligated himself. When we do what we're supposed to, now you might not like his answer. Amen. You might not like his answer, but he's going to answer every prayer. The thing about it is, are you in the will of God so you can know the difference? God has obligated himself to make a place for his children. Amen. John chapter 14. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. God is obligated himself. Let me go ahead and tell you, if you're here tonight and you're saved, glory to God, there is a place in heaven for you. There is a place up there with Gavin's name on it. Dallas can't get it. Ben can't get it. It's Gavin's, glory to God. There's a place with Jawan's name on it. Ain't nobody else can get it. There's a place with my name on it, glory to God. Ain't nobody, it's mine. It's all mine, glory to God. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and claim what the Lord's given us. He is obligated to make a place for his own.
Amen. Amen.
And let me tell you, me and David was talking, they were talking about it in the choir tonight. They said that one song that Chucky didn't like in the choir. And I told David, I said, you know, one of the only songs I hate. That Little Drummer Boy, I hate that song. That's the stupidest song I ever heard in my life. I don't know who wrote it. He ought to be slapped. It ain't biblical, and it's kind of crazy. You got a brand new baby, you're going to go banging on a drum. That don't make no sense. But we've all heard that song. Just give me a cabin in the corner of heaven. That ain't biblical. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Let me go ahead and tell you something. I'm serving him. And if I got there and they wasn't nothing but a tent up there, Brother Dale, it'd be fine and dandy. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what the Bible says. He said there are mansions up there. And I don't care how you want to look at it. I'm just going to go ahead and take his word for it. I'm not going to take the songwriter. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. That brings me to my next point. God has obligated himself to come and get us.
Amen.
Verse 3 goes on to say that if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself that where I am, there ye may be also. Revelation chapter 21 tells us about that place, glory to God. Revelation chapter 21 tells us about those streets of gold. Revelation chapter 21 tells us about the gates of pearl, amen. About the emerald that's all around the throne. About the river that runs through heaven and the tree that's up there for all manner of healing. I'm telling you right now, and if they, none of that was there but Jesus, it'd still be worth it all, amen. He's obligated himself. He's coming to get us, Brother Robert. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. Amen. Now you listen to this. Jonathan, he got so specific, he even told us how he was going to come get us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming to get us. But he's also obligated himself to punish all nations that reject Christ. Psalms chapter 9 verse 17 says this, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget Christ, forget God. Psalms chapter 50 verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none other to deliver. God will punish everyone who rejects God. God will punish everyone who rejects Christ. Amen. Now you listen. God's obligated himself to do some stuff. Where do you fall into that plan? Where do you fall into that plan? If you're not saved, if you're not saved, you still fall into the plan somewhere. God is going to punish everyone who rejects Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is biblical. But glory to God, he's going to reward everyone who accepts him. Amen. Where do you fall into the plan?
That's good, preacher.
I want you to bow your heads. Brother Robert, come get us a song.